As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high interest credit card debt. Now, I wish I knew more about this, maybe after divorce number one, divorce number two, maybe after I flunked out of all of those community college. I wish I knew about Upstart.com. Because you know why? Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. And they understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes. The best part? Once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. The next day, over 300,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/bustedopen to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes and won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/bustedopen.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, we have a very special guest. Jake Hager of AEW and Bellator joins us live in studio. We talk about his upcoming fight for Bellator on Friday. We also get into AEW and, of course, his partnership with Chris Jericho. We also talk about Ric Flair's promo to start Monday Night Raw last night. Probably was the best thing about Raw. Is Ric Flair a little dangerous with a live microphone? We'll discuss. And Bully gets into the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to the segment with Cain Velasquez, Rey Mysterio, and Shelton Benjamin. We go deep with Bully Ray, and I think you're really going to like it. All that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Jake Hager making his presence known. He's going to do that again this Friday night at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut because he's going to put up that undefeated streak on Friday. So a lot going on in the career of Jake Hager. So we have him now live here in studio. What's going on?
Yeah, thanks for having me, boys.
Well, this is important. I'm glad you came in because this is now the third time we've had you on before a fight. So you have to come on the show to keep this streak going.
See, you know me. I'm a creature of habit. Yes. I need my routines, and I'm like wearing the same socks from every interview that I do with you, Dave.
That's important. So am I, Jake.
You know,
that's the smell, Bully. That's the smell.
You know what's really interesting, brother? This is the first thing that hit me when I saw you this morning. You know, a couple of years ago when we were in the WWE together, in the locker room together, whenever I would see you, you were always in a good mood, but you had this look on your face like, man, I'm just not happy. The minute I see you this morning, you got this giant smile on your face. Like, I never saw that smile a lot back in the day. Like, I can tell you are a completely different person. Am I right? Am I wrong? Are things much better for you these days? Are you in a better place? Talk to me, brother.
Man, thank you for bringing that up. I really am. You know, I'm very thankful for the run that I had there. But towards the end there, when you were there, yeah, I was very unhappy. I didn't know how to make the changes, how to use my hard work to make the changes that I needed to do to get to where I wanted. And, you know, after so long in that, you know, you beat a dog so many times, that dog is going to think that he's not worth anything. And I feel so refreshed being out of there and in the situation we are now. I mean, honestly, this was the plan for 3 years since we left the company to go into pro fighting and make a name for ourselves and cross over. And then, you know, we kind of felt like the explosion of pro wrestling was going to happen, and it was a perfect storm to sign with AEW. And it really is something special. When you're on the road for 200 and 250 days a year, you're not with your family, you're not with a lot of people a lot, you're very lonely at times, and I felt like that. And now that I've been out, I take my kids to school every single day. I mean, really, my family is my strength, and I realize that, and I'm leaning on it.
It's amazing to me because you're talking about that you have more time, but from the outside looking in, for me looking at it, it seems like you would have less time, because here you are with AEW, and it's been tremendous, the ratings these first 3 weeks on TNT, and you're right in the middle of it. You're part of Inner Circle. You're right there. And then you're also fighting for Bellator, and you have a big fight on Friday. So it's crazy when you hear it, because on WWE TV, we didn't see you a lot, but you're there with the company traveling, and now we see you on TV constantly, but yet you're saying you have more time with your family and you get to take your kids to school.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, Dave, is that I invested in myself. I took a big risk, and now I'm my own boss. So I make my schedule. I choose the people that I want to work with, and that allows me the freedom and flexibility to really see what I can do, to let my hard work go and really see what I can accomplish. I'm only on the road 2 days a week with AEW, which is awesome compared to the other schedule. And when you put that with the 5 days a week of hard training for a fight, you know, when you put it in perspective that I only have to go work for about 3 or 4 hours a day and like just like really kill it for those 3 hours, very intense, but then I'm done for the rest of the day and I get to be with my kids, and I got I got time to spend with my wife. I mean, she's a huge, huge online influencer, and I'm trying to help her reach the success that I've had. And so we don't have to get punched in the face to make our money, but it really feels like more free time for me because I'm working with the people that I like.
Talk to us about this upcoming fight this weekend. How's your training been going? What's your frame of mind? And is this next fight the biggest fight that you've had so far in your MMA career?
Definitely the biggest test of my MMA career. You know, it's not big enough to scare you. It's not big enough. And so we knew back in the summer when we signed with AEW secretly that let's book the fight right after it so we can capitalize on the exposure and really let's test ourselves. Let's see what we got. Let's see what we can do. I know I have a small window, so I'm here to make an impact. I want to make a splash in both worlds. And, you know, you can't be afraid of that because regret is a more powerful emotion. And so training has been awesome. Josh Rafferty gives me all of his time. Coach Rob Rafford has my hands tuned up. And I really want to go out there and show that I'm in the best shape of my life and that I'm the best conditioned heavyweight, not only in Bellator, but in MMA.
Do you get nervous before a fight? Like, you know, when you're walking into that cage, you get a little nervous, or are you just so confident you don't have those feelings?
Maybe I'm just sick, but I'm always smiling. I find it a lot of fun, and it's different from pro wrestling. Pro wrestling, I would definitely get performance anxiety, and, you know, I have a certain standard of which I want my match to be, and so I want every little detail to be on point. With pro fighting, it's awesome because you have your fight camp and you kill yourself in fight camp to prepare yourself. So that night, you know, you're ready. There's no questions about it. Just go back there, pin your ears back and show the world what you can do. And honestly, it's a lot of fun.
Jake, I've told Dave before, and I told the listeners before, that wrestling, having a professional wrestling match, or let's just take your case, you know, when you were the world heavyweight champion, defending your world heavyweight championship in a main event is mentally more taxing than getting in an MMA cage. Because once you get in an MMA cage, all you have to do is act and react. You don't have to worry about performing. You don't have to worry about entertaining. And you don't have to worry about a 74-year-old billionaire waiting on the other side of the curtain looking at you like you just screwed everything up. Yes, no, do you agree or disagree?
Absolutely agree. It's incredible. That type of match is so stressful just leading up to it, and then afterwards dealing with everything. It's a lot of noise that where you just want to go out there and focus on what you do and wrestle. Unfortunately, that's not the name of the game, but it really is very tough to get in there and perform at a high level. The best ones make it look so easy, and so everyone thinks they can do it, but it's not easy. And I would love to see some of the best athletes in the world get in there and try and do it at that level, because you're not going to do it. You're not just going to turn over overnight and become a world heavyweight champion pro wrestler.
Let's talk about Bellator for a second, because I admit I'm not the biggest MMA fan. I'm not the most knowledgeable MMA person, but I did a lot of asking around because this is a combat sports channel, and knowing that you're going to be in here today. And it's been explained to me that Bellator is really the company for the MMA fan. There's not a lot of the pomp and circumstance. If you like hardcore MMA fighting, Bellator is the company for you. Do you agree with that?
I chose Bellator because I saw how they treated their talent. There's no 74-year-old billionaire waiting to harass you after you come through the curtain. They actually wanna like treat their talent like an asset to the company. And I think you see that trend in pro fighters. And when I left the company, there was a big trend of a lot of UFC guys going over to Bellator because they were feeling like they were treated better, they're getting better contracts, and it was really exciting to be a part of a company like that. And a breath of fresh air coming from where I did. So that was my main choice. And I think what you see Bellator doing, consistently putting out great card after great card, it's only a matter of time before their stock really rises.
Much like Dave, I'm not a huge MMA fan, but I find myself, enjoying Bellator more than UFC, because Bellator has more of that pro wrestling feel. It feels like you can go out there and take your knowledge from pro wrestling and that entertainment factor from pro wrestling and bring it into the world of Bellator. Do you feel the same way or not?
Absolutely. I think being a pro wrestler has made me a way better pro fighter, just for the fact that I can go out there in front of a crowd, be comfortable, and I know how to react, as in the last fight when they didn't like something. You know, I let them have it because I have that experience and I know what I'm doing. I would not be in this position with Bellator if it wasn't for my pro wrestling background. I'm known all over the world, toot toot, but because I have that leverage, I'm able to do stuff like this, and pro wrestling gave me that. And a lot of people want to say, oh, we're playing games, we're not really doing this. Absolutely not. Just because I have a television show every Wednesday night doesn't mean that I'm not tough and that I'm joking around.
You mentioned with the WWE, you kind of suffered from performance anxiety. I myself never have had that issue, but you said you had that with the WWE. Is that because there's so many cooks in the kitchen? There's so many people in your ear telling you what you need to do? Like, does that get in your head when you're trying to go actually out there and have a match?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the best piece of advice I got from someone in pro wrestling is you're going to get all these pieces of advice, but you have to take that and you have to make it your own. Otherwise, it's not going to translate out there in the ring. And that's a constant struggle, I feel like, because with pro wrestling, every day is something new and it's live television, so you always want to be upgraded to the moment, and because of that it is very tough and difficult at times. And unless you have experience or confidence in yourself or just that live audience experience, it's gonna be very, very tough on you to go out there and perform at a high level.
Jake, how pissed off are you at Chris Jericho for killing your tagline?
I'm not pissed off at all. Chris, thank you. No one else in the world wants to thank you, Chris. I will thank you. Le Champion, thank you. It's one of those moments where it really shows why Chris Jericho is on the Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling. His timing, his ability in the ring, and his experience is just so awesome. And he could just take, he didn't even really say anything special. You know, the way he said it, though, was just perfect. And it was a great moment, and I think it's a great start for us. And I'm not upset at all. It just had to be done.
And he had to move on from it. because you don't want to remind people of what you did before, because now you're a part of something new and you've evolved as a performer and as a pro wrestler. I would think that's the best step for you in AEW.
Well, if you think about pro wrestling is always about staying fresh, and you got to revamp your character. You always have to like go away and come back, go away and come back. And that really is the exciting part about pro wrestling. Pro wrestling fans love surprises. So let's surprise them. And then let's not just give them the old stuff. Let's move on. Let's show them where we're at and who we are. That was Jack Swagger. Well, you're looking at Jake Hager now.
Yep.
Tell me the biggest difference in the locker rooms, in the backstage atmosphere, in the feel of the entire company, WWE, as compared to AEW, when you get to work and you're going through your entire day.
Night and day, really is. It's hard to compare the two. You get there, and immediately, if I want to go talk to Tony Khan, I have that. I can. He makes himself available. He's not hiding behind the curtain like the Wizard of Oz. It's really nice to go in there, and if I have something I need to talk to the boss about, it's easy. It's not stressful. It's not like, oh, what kind of mood is he in? It's really nice. And I think you see that attitude trickle down from the top all the way across. And you see that as professional wrestlers, they always say the boys ruin it for the boys. Well, what I see is a bunch of young professionals in there hungry and happy to be a part of something and really trying to build a future outside of the WWE.
When Bully and I talked about our predictions for the ratings for AEW, I thought it would be probably around the 600,000-700,000 range. And obviously, much bigger, double that. I mean, are you surprised by the popularity so far for AEW?
No, I'm not surprised. You saw the popularity the Young Bucks and Cody and Kenny had with their YouTube series with Being the Elite. You think about what they built with a YouTube platform. Think about what these guys can do with a national television platform. I think the sky's the limit, and it's only going to get more popular, and it's only going to cross over into more markets because these guys are not doing the same things, and people like that.
Are you looking forward to wrestling in an AEW ring?
Oh, yes. Yes,
he's rock hard with emotion, Bully.
It's popping through the keyboard right now. You look at the roster there, and I just see so many fresh matchups for Jake Hager. I want to wrestle the Young Bucks in singles. I want to wrestle Rey Fénix in a singles match. I want to wrestle Penta in a singles. Kenny Omega, Pac. And then, of course, you know, I want to get my hands on Jon Moxley. It's just so incredible to see this group here coming together, and it's really exciting. I really want to get in there. I'm not in any hurry, but at the same time, it's exciting when I do.
You know, one of the things that we talk about on the show, Jake, is within the world of WWE, how hard it is for the guys and gals to get themselves over because there's so much control up there. Can you speak to this? What did you go through when you were in the WWE? Were you allowed to go out there and just do whatever you want to get over? Or did you basically have to stick to what they wanted you to do in the ring and what they wanted you to say on the microphone?
You know what?
I know I'm being a buzzkill right now.
No. I'm glad you asked because it's funny because, like, if it makes sense up there, they're not going to do it. It has to not make sense for them to want to go forward with it. And that part gets frustrating because you see so many times that I had really cool moments in my career, and then the next day it just gets stopped for no reason, you know, and who knows why. Maybe I did something, or maybe, you know, it's, you know, the powers that be just chose it. But it's really frustrating, you know, because you put your body on the line, you put your neck on the line, you put your back on the line, and you give your body to these people, and you go out there and you give your heart to the people, and then all of a sudden it's just taken away and you don't even have an explanation for it, and then you're back at the bottom of the pile again. And, you know, I don't think you can sustain. That's not a good business model. I mean, they say that the talent is the asset, you know, the biggest asset of the company. Well, they don't treat it like that, one. And it's just so frustrating to, like, have storylines just canceled day of, hours before the show is about to go on. And that's one thing about AEW. Like, we know the script a week out, you know, before we even go to TV. So we're already thinking about what we want to do and how we want to entertain our great fans.
And I'm sure you have some freedom as well. And that, and freedom seems to be like a curse word at times when it comes to pro wrestling. But it seems like, again, from the outside looking in, that you have that freedom in AEW.
Yep, yep. I think as we get more and more into Wednesday Night Dynamite, 8 o'clock TNT, the backstage will become more of a structure. But right now there's a lot of freedom there to go out there and do your job. And if you're doing your job, you have that freedom. And it's really nice to have that and be treated as an adult. I mean, that's the first thing Cody said to me. He's like, hey, we're all adults here, right? Oh, it's funny. I've never had someone say that to me.
That's weird. That's crazy.
The Bellator World Heavyweight Championship, is that the goal right now for you?
You know, I made no qualms about it. I'm a prize fighter. I'm doing this for money. I'm doing this for the opportunity to further my professional wrestling career. But nobody gets in that MMA cage without wanting to be the best. I have that sickness. Of course, it's on the horizon. And I think it, you know, maybe in another year, I'll be ready to fight a champion like Ryan Bader for the Bellator Heavyweight Championship.
And really quick before you go, because I know you're very busy today, just a few words about Anthony Garrett and your fight on Friday.
Yeah, big country boy from the heartland of America, just like me. So you're going to see two powers collide. He's probably got a little bit of weight on me, and he's going to try to get me up against the cage. So I'm going to have to rely on my footwork and my head motion and my hand speed. And look, we made a statement on October 2nd with AEW. Well, this is part two. One doesn't happen without the other. We want them both, and we're ready for Friday night to make that statement and really say Jake Hager is not to be messed with.
All right.
Well, wait a minute. You said this guy's got some weight on you, right?
Yep.
You've been in the ring with Tommy Dreamer, so you should be used to this stuff by now.
If you could get Tommy Dreamer up in the air after a box of Oreos, I think you can get anybody up there. Man.
Great stuff. Great stuff.
Sorry, Tommy.
it's a running joke.
Is it a joke?
And if it's Dreamer, it's not running. It's more of a walk, a slow walk, maybe a crawl at times.
I got to be careful. He's got too much dirt on me.
And again, the fight is at Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. And where else can you see the fight on Friday?
You can watch it on Paramount Live Friday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. The car kicks off. You're not going to want to miss it. Frank Mir, big country, going to be dueling out. You got two other All-Americans on the card, Ed Ruth and Phil Davis from Penn State. So you see three All-Americans in the MMA cage. And I think it's awesome because you finally see MMA fighters doing what wrestlers should do, take them down and control them.
Love it. Jake Hager. Jake, thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully we get a call in on Monday after you win this fight on Friday.
Oh, we're ready.
Good luck, brother.
Thank
Good
you
luck.
Guys.
Make
Thank
us
you,
proud.
When you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. Time-consuming, expensive, so many carriers to choose from. How do you know you're making the best choice? That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. And when I manage and ship my orders of Dave LaGreca guy shirts and Dave LaGreca girl shirts, and you know that I suffer from lack of funza, I need ShipStation.com. ShipStation helps you get orders out quickly, save money, thank God, on shipping, and keep your customers happy. ShipStation works with all of the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, and UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment, so you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customers. They even offer big discounts on shipping costs. Now, any business can access the same postage discounts that are usually reserved for large Fortune 500 companies. You'll always know that you're getting the best deal. No wonder ShipStation is number one on online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. And right now, Busted Open listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use offer code BUSTED. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering your credit card information. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in BUSTED. That's ShipStation.com, then enter offer code BUSTED. ShipStation.com, make ship happen.
We got some of the Browns in the house. I told you to bring Baker down. You're not giving the rub. Where's Odell? God only knows you guys need a champion. LeBron's gone. All you got left is the nature boy.
I loved that promo. I loved that promo so much. And I loved the match that took place afterwards with Drew McIntyre and Ricochet. As soon as that match was over, I went back on the DVR and I rewatched the Ric Flair promo again. It's so funny because Metzi, our producer, texted us and said, he was like, man, why can't they just have Ric Flair for all 3 hours? I was actually in the middle of tweeting that when he texted that. Like, I mean, where do you go from there? You can't do that. You can't have Ric Flair start the show because you know it's just going to be downhill from there.
Listen, Flair went out there. He started the show hot. People were entertained by it. I'm sure Vince was sweating bullets because Flair had a live mic in his hand, and he was saying a bunch of stuff. When he hit the mother line, I was like, whoa, brother. You might not want to go there, especially in Ohio. It's going to be a heat wave. But listen, that's a perfect – let's forget about what he said as opposed to the energy and the fire that he had. That's what I would love to see the WWE do with their talents across the board. Just tell the talent, here's the story, here's the bullet points, here's what we want you to get across. Go out there and do what you did. One of the best things that Nick Aldis said on this show was the NWA's mantra right now is let the talent be talented. And the WWE has the best talent in the world. So let those talents go out there and do what they do. Let them say what they can say. Let's not just fill their mouths with every single line. Let's at least experiment with it. You don't think Samoa Joe going out there with bullet points would work?
It would work.
How come nobody writes Heyman's promos?
Because they obviously have confidence. And first of all, they probably have the confidence. And probably I can't picture a 26-year-old running up to Paul Heyman with a script, handing it to him and telling him this is what you have to say when you go out there.
And what does that 26-year-old know about telling Samoa Joe how to be a bad mother trucker?
Nothing.
Exactly.
I mean, so no more different than I could do it, and I would never do it.
And here's the one person that I'll keep going back to him that I'm sure if the verbiage was left up to him, we could hear something different. A guy like a Seth Rollins. I'd love to them to just say, here's the microphone, Seth. Go talk. Go get this story over. Go speak from the heart. How would you really react? As opposed to the way that you say he comes out there a bit cheesy and not selling. And I'm just telling you, they're telling him to do that. So Flair's promo was awesome because it was entertaining. And if the name of your company is World Wrestling Entertainment, then let people entertain.
All right. And there's actually a lot of layers to what we saw with Ric Flair. But you just brought up something that's so interesting. They would never do that to Paul Heyman. Obviously, they wouldn't do that to a Ric Flair. Why do they do that to everybody else? I mean, they have promo courses and classes as part of the Performance Center. Why do they do that for once you get to Monday Night Raw, they hand you a script? And again, you accuse me of ragging on Seth Rollins. So when I bring up Seth Rollins, take it for what it is, okay? Because I can only go by what I see and what I hear. And whether it's Seth Rollins and whether it's creative, it doesn't matter. I'm just judging and giving my opinion from what I saw last night. Again, we see Seth Rollins come out the same way we always see Seth Rollins come out, with a big smile on his face. And it's the words that come out, But it's not only the way the words come out, it's the way he stands, the way he delivers the lines. And that's the thing. He's delivering lines. Seth Rollins, when he does a promo, is delivering lines. It's just like going to my daughter's practice before a big play. I was actually thinking the same thing when I went to one of the practices for my daughter's play. She's looking, she's gazing at an audience not there because the theater is empty, so she's just gazing to nowhere like the wrestlers do when they're doing backstage promos. They're not actually looking in the eyes of the person who's interviewing them, and they're not looking at the camera. They're just kind of dazing, you know, gazing off into space. But they're delivering lines. They're not saying words. They're delivering lines like a play. Why do some people get the microphone and say, go out there and do, and other ones have to go by a script? Is it because they don't have faith? Is it because they have no confidence and faith in Seth Rollins?
I think you're comparing two different things now. Let's take apples to apples, not apples to oranges. You're talking about delivering lines. Who's better at delivering the lines that are written on the piece of paper, Samoa Joe or Seth Rollins?
Samoa Joe, without a doubt.
Why is Samoa Joe better at delivering those lines than Seth Rollins?
Because he makes you believe the words that are coming out of his mouth.
And what word is that chalked up to?
What do you mean?
Believability, charisma.
Yes.
Maybe a guy like Joe just has more believability and charisma than a guy like Seth when it comes to delivering lines. This is my point. Delivering lines is not working for Seth, at least in not your eyes, a lot of fans on social media. Even to me at times, it comes across as a little bit forced.
When they showed him backstage last night, he got booed.
And I was laughing to myself because Seth was laughing, and I know you were probably throwing shit at your TV when you saw that smile on Seth Rollins'
yep.
face last night.
Yep.
Okay? So if Seth's strong point is not delivering lines, let's try to play to Seth's wheelhouse a little bit. What I would do is I would sit down with Seth and go, tell me the words that would come out of your mouth. Now, maybe they are doing this with Seth. And maybe these are the words that are coming out of his mouth. In that case, I would say it's not resonating. And that's why I think they put their toe in the water last night with Seth. I think they just little tiny hints last night about Seth and a possible heel turn. Those fans were chanting Bray at times. Just a small spattering of fans, you could tell, were unhappy with what they were seeing, despite the fact that I thought Seth and the kid had a really good match, and Seth did a phenomenal job of getting that kid over, and the kid did a phenomenal job in that spot. All good things about the physicality of the match. Fans couldn't have cared less. And if fans can't care less about their Universal Champion at times, there's got to be a disconnect. One of those disconnects is that he's been there in the ring with a guy that the people are more intrigued by and entertained by than him, in The Fiend. And the other thing is he's just not coming across or touching you the way you want to be touched, Dave. And when I mean touched, I mean emotionally.
And that's what I want. And that's what you want from your champion. And that's what you want from, I guess, the face of your show, which Seth Rollins is if he's your Universal Champion. And I think they did test the waters a bit last night. Not saying he wrestled as a heel, but you saw little bits and pieces where they may be going in that direction. And honestly, with Seth Rollins, Bully, if they decided to turn him heel, I don't think you're losing anything by turning him heel. You know, everybody wanted Cena to turn heel, and everybody wanted Reigns to turn heel. Well, you're going to lose something if you did that at the times that they were the biggest star on the show. I don't think you have that with Seth Rollins, because I don't know if there's that many people emotionally invested in Seth Rollins, because the story he's involved in doesn't have the people's emotions. The person he's going up against is probably liked more than he is, because there's the cool factor and there's the kind of unknown factor when it comes to Bray Wyatt. And with his promos, he's not believable and he's not grabbing anybody. So I don't think you lose anything if you did ultimately decide to turn him heel.
And with all of this being said, as we discuss Seth, it seems on a daily basis, I'm going to go back to this. Did people pop for Seth winning? or Brock losing?
It's Brock losing.
And now you see the importance of Brock Lesnar as a performer, as an entertainer, as a wrestler, and as a Universal Champion. Because Brock can get anybody over when they're in the ring with Brock. Has Seth been... I enjoyed Seth Rollins a lot more chasing Brock and slaying the beast than I am Seth Rollins right now. Dave, it's difficult in the WWE to be a babyface world champion who people will pay to see retain. They'll pay to see the chase because they want to see the beast get slayed. But once that happens, all right, it's over with. It's kind of like, you pursue a girl, a guy, your wife, your girlfriend, whatever, you know? After you've hung out with them for the first night, you're like, okay, you know.
Yeah, and the honeymoon, I totally got you're saying the honeymoon period's over when it comes to Seth Rollins. But I want to go back to Ric Flair because we've heard thousands of promos from Ric Flair. That, what we saw last night, was fun. It was entertaining. Not nearly as good as what he usually does on the microphone back in the day. But I loved it so much because it's what promos are supposed to be. You didn't know what was coming out of his mouth next. He got you emotionally involved, and you were entertained, and you couldn't wait to see what he was going to say next. You don't see that in the WWE anymore, Bully.
You said a word earlier that made me throw up in my mouth.
What's that?
It's called promo class. Ugh. Promo class.
But isn't that what they do?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What promo class did Ric Flair go to?
It was
Dusty Rhodes.
It was probably
Steve Austin.
It was
The Rock.
It was probably in a car with other wrestlers bullshitting about like what to do.
That's promo class. That's where you learn how to talk in the world of pro wrestling. Being in the car, on the road, talking with the boys, going out there on house shows and working on your craft. Not being handed a script or being sat down. Listen, 30 people could sit in a class and listen to Dusty Rhodes talk about a promo, but it's always going to be very mechanical. Dusty could tell you, listen, what Dave, do you know what the most important parts of a promo are?
You have to talk about your opponent. You have to talk about where you're going to wrestle is going to be, and then why the fans should go out and buy a ticket to see it.
Very, very good, Dave. The who, what, when, where, why, and how of a match. You hit all those bullet points and then tell a story. Boom. There's your promo class. Pay me my $700. I just taught you how to cut a promo.
And I think
that's all you have to do.
And I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but I remember around WrestleMania in New Orleans, WrestleMania 30, I went to a show the night before and Angelina Love was wrestling like a local talent from Louisiana. And I actually saw her cut a promo. And before the promo, which was fantastic, by the way, all she did was talk to the promoter and she said, who am I wrestling tonight? And am I the face or the heel? And then she went on and cut a 2.5 minute promo that was fantastic. All she did, she knew nothing about the person she was stepping into the ring with. All she asked was, what's the wrestler's name? And am I the face or the heel? And that was it.
As long as you know the who, what, when, where, why, and how, you can build a story around all those bullet points. This Friday night in Madison Square Garden, me, myself, Bully Ray, will take on Dave LaGreca for the WWE Universal Championship inside of a steel cage. And I'm telling you right now, I guarantee victory when I hit the Bubba Cutter 1-2-3 in the middle and I become the next Universal Champion. Who, what, when, where, why, and how.
That's it. You got me hooked.
And those are just the bullet points. Now you build the story around it. Yeah, you know, LaGreca went on Busted Open. He says that I'm difficult to deal with and I'm frustrating and blah, 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 blah. Well, he's a piece of garbage too, and he's just as frustrating because he suffers from lack of funds. You just tell a story. That's it. Now, you don't want to hit the who, what, when, where, we, and how every promo, because if this is episodic television, you don't necessarily need to know
True. All
those little points, okay? But I'll be damned if I don't want to see a guy that just got dragged under the ring by a fiend, a demon, or whatever you want to call him, have a look of concern on his face. If that was me, big, tough, brash, loud, bully Ray who's not afraid of anybody. If the Fiend had dragged me under, you bet your ass I'd be second-guessing myself. You bet your ass I'd be second-guessing how tough I was. You bet your ass I'd have to admit, you know what, for the first time in my life, I was afraid. I was scared, and it's very hard to admit it on this radio show how scared I was by the Fiend. But in admitting how afraid I was, maybe that'll help me become unafraid. I have to face my fear, and my biggest fear right now is the Fiend.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
First of all, Ric Flair kind of did what Chris Jericho did last week with AEW. Hey, it's Ric Flair. He comes out, starts wooing, starts talking about the women in the crowd, and people are cheering and they're loving it. But he knows how to turn it around and get the boos as well. Hey, there's some Cleveland Browns in the front row. They're in Cleveland. Hey, make some remarks about the Browns. And that as quick as they were cheering is as quick as they started booing Ric Flair. There's an art to that, and Ric Flair definitely has it because he's the best of all time.
The best performers and entertainers in the world of professional wrestling can be heels on Monday, babyfaces on Tuesday, and right back to heel again on Wednesday. That's how diverse you have to be, and when you are that diverse, you're extremely successful and make a lot of money. Has Ric Flair been the most loved guy in the world at times?
Yes.
Has he been the most hated guy in the world at times?
Absolutely.
Chris Jericho the same?
Yep.
That's why they're so successful. Because your job as a performer in that wrestling ring is to be a puppet master. And to take those people on the ride that you want to take them on. I can make you love me 1 minute. I can make you hate me the next minute and right back to love. It's a commanding of emotions. That's in its most simplistic form. That's what pro wrestling is about. It's being able to command people's emotions through the art form of speaking and physicality.
And you know what, really? You talked about throwing up in your mouth when I said promo class. You know what word that was getting bounced around by everybody on social media right after that Ric Flair promo or Ric Flair interaction to start off Monday Night Raw that made me throw up in my mouth? Was dangerous. Like everybody's talking about, boy, I can't believe they put a live mic in Ric Flair's hands. This is dangerous. Like, shut the fuck up. Dangerous? Really? Are you kidding me? Why? Because he made a joke and because he said pro wrestling? Now all of a sudden Ric Flair is dangerous to put a live microphone in his hand? Is this what we've come to? Like, everybody wants change. Everybody wants something different. Everybody's tired of the old canned promos and the fed lines. You give Ric Flair a live microphone for 5 minutes to start Raw, and that's dangerous? Come on. Really, Bully? Is my 48-year-old old man that out of touch of what's going on that I don't understand how Ric Flair was dangerous last night?
The pussification of the wrestling business. That's what that is.
Dangerous.
Sensitive people. Outraged. Offended. Dangerous. It's dangerous to put a live microphone in Ric Flair's hands. Listen, Ric Flair is going to say things that might shock some people. Listen, when he said the thing about the mother last night, maybe that's what they're referring to.
It probably, you know what that probably did, though? I guarantee you. Of all the things that Ric Flair said in that promo, probably Vince McMahon, I thought, probably was laughing at that line. Laughing
yes.
out loud.
Everybody at the gorilla position was laughing. Everybody's popping, laughing, having a good time, because there's Ric Flair doing the one thing that he does better than anybody else. Be Ric Flair. Be entertaining. I mean, listen, Dave, you know how I feel about, you know, the sensitivity of the world and the wrestling business and how easily people are offended. I mean, you know, the world has changed. I don't understand why the wrestling business has had to have changed with it. It's still sports entertainment. Everything is on limits. It's just the way you go about them. I don't see – Dave, have you seen anything in the past 10 years that has offended you, truly offended you?
In the WWE?
In all of pro wrestling.
The last 10 years, no. I honestly can't – nothing comes to mind, no.
Yeah. I'm not offended by anything I see in the world of professional wrestling. I don't find it offensive. Despite that, I don't like the fact of the Lashley-Lana storyline because I think it's a little corny. I'm not offended by it.
It's not offensive.
I understand why they're going down this road. It's soap opera. It's supposed to be relatable. I don't think it's coming. Listen, I could see the same thing on General Hospital or The Young and the Restless that I'm seeing on WWE right now with that storyline.
And here's the thing. If you go back, and quite honestly, let's say you go to YouTube, Bully, and you go back and... You know, even some of, you know, Roddy Piper's promos or Dr. D. David Schultz promos or Iron Sheik promos. You go back to, you know, the mid-80s and you watch some of that stuff now, you'd be like, whoa, wow, I can't believe they got away with that. That's offensive. I can't believe that. But at the time, did we find it offensive? Yes.
No.
Because, well, we didn't find it offensive in that way. We found it like, this is why I hate him. But I can't believe Dr. D. David Schultz just said that. That's why I hate Dr. D. David Schultz. And that's why I'm going to buy a ticket to the Meadowlands to see him wrestle Hulk Hogan because I'm going to boo the shit out of him. That was your mindset back then.
And what's the mindset now?
The mindset is like, I can't believe somebody in the back actually wrote that. Or I can't believe that, you know, a wrestler would say that in the ring because that's not his character saying it. That's him as a person. He must truly believe that or else he would never say that on live TV. Like if you can't have it both ways. You can't say, you know what, I want more non-scripted promos. I want promos that, like, come from the heart or have emotion. I want to buy into a character. But do you really? Because if it's something you don't like, then it's not the character that's saying it. It's the actual person that's saying it.
And the disgusting thing that goes on in the world of wrestling fans today, especially social media, well, only social media, is that they lie in the weeds and wait for something that sounds even remotely offensive so they can be the first one on Twitter to say how offended they were or how wrong that was or how there's going to be major backlash on a company because a performer said that. Or they turn around and go, I'm changing the channel. Give me a break. That change the channel stuff is some of the laziest, lamest, most pathetic excuse I've ever heard from wrestling fans. If you want to change the channel because you're thoroughly not entertained, I guess you have every right to. But wanting to change the channel because you didn't like what the bad guy said, how about instead of being a puss and changing the channel, you just cheer for the good guy and want to see him kick the other guy's ass, just like we used to do back in the day.
But, I mean, but you know, is this reality-based or is this scripted? Is it the actual person or is it the character? Because you don't feel that way when you go to a movie. If there's a bad guy in a movie and he says something you don't like, guess what? That's the reason why you hate that character in the movie. But when it comes to pro wrestling, people get offended. Like, what was Ric Flair actually going to say in that ring that was going to be offensive or dangerous? Like, again, forget about offensive for a second. Dangerous. Boy, that's dangerous to put a live microphone in Ric Flair's hand. What are you afraid he's going to say? What could Ric Flair say that's dangerous? He makes a little bit of a crude remark to a woman? I mean, you know, is like, but again, he's the heel in that scenario. He was talking bad about the Browns. He wants to get people to cheer for Hulk Hogan's team at the Crown Jewel. I mean, is there other ways to do it? But then again, don't tell me if you find that offensive, then don't tell me how much you love Ric Flair back in 1986 on World Championship Wrestling at 6:05. Don't tell me how great that was, because believe me, that was far more dangerous than what we saw last night.
but nobody would have complained back then. You see, the dangerous comes in when you hear Ric Flair say a word like, I was with your mother last night, or whatever he said about the fan's mother. The dangerous comes in when people start complaining. Now, if one of the people that sponsors or advertises with WWE gets enough backlash from some of their customers, that advertiser may call the WWE and go, yeah, we're not so sure that we can be associated or affiliated with a company who encourages their talent to go in there and talk about the mother of a wrestling fan. That's where the dangers could pop. But can't you see that happening today?
Yes, Dave? Of course.
Despite the fact that we don't agree with it, and we definitely don't, we're not on board. That's what can happen.
But that's what they love about Ric Flair. When you talk about Ric Flair, and forget about in the ring, because most of the time when you hear people referencing Ric Flair, it's about his promos and about him on the microphone, jet flying, kiss stealing, son of a gun that made the women cry. I mean, that's what everybody wants to talk about. They want to talk about him in the limousine with the 12 women. Not saying it's right. I'm a moral man. I have a wife. I have a child. I don't sleep around. He's a character. Did he do that in real life? Absolutely. And everybody praises him for doing it. They love the fact that Nation and woo, this is who Ric Flair really was. It wasn't a character. This is the way he actually was. They commend him for that. But then they're going to call it dangerous when he has a live microphone in the ring? Come on now. Come on.
Fickle hypocrites. Fickle
Come
hypocrites.
On.
I agree with you, but not everybody
But they want
is going
change,
to-
Bully. I want change. It's scripted. I don't want anybody going off the cuff. I mean, come on, man. You can't have it both ways. You bitch and moan one way, and then you bitch and moan the other way.
It sounds to me like you are very unhappy with the state of a lot of things that go on with fans within the wrestling business.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
This is now time for something a little bit new, and I'm really looking forward to what Bully has to say when it comes to this segment. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The segment is so new that we don't even have an intro for no.
Oh, we're doing it. We're doing this on the fly.
Am I supposed to talk now or do I wait?
You can wait to build the anticipation. All right, let me do it again. Now the music is playing. So right now, let's do the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Shut the music. I can't do it with the music on. It kind of screws me up, Dave. So here's the deal.
Okay.
First, can I ask you?
That went over.
I just want to know. Yeah. No, I liked it, but I was very confused. You guys okay. Got to set me
all
up
right,
for this.
All right, all right, all right. I thought I did with the whole good, the bad, the ugly thing. But
I didn't know
but
the music was coming. Blah, blah,
I didn't,
blah.
I didn't know, Spider. I thought you were.
I thought you said you were okay. Oh, okay. Okay.
You know what? Talk about that segment. There you go.
Normally when Raw is on, I'm doing a couple of other things. I don't have the show on in the background. I'm actually watching, but I might be sending out a tweet or looking at some stuff on my laptop or whatever it is. So when Ray came out and started talking, I found myself still doing a couple other little things, but still paying attention to Ray's verbiage. And then when I heard Heyman on the screen, boom, I found myself completely invested in the back and forth. When Heyman talks, people listen, okay? And then Ray fires back. He fires back really well. And then here comes Shelton. And when Shelton came out, I was immediately intrigued because I'm like, what the hell are they doing here? And then Shelton comes in, and he gets on that microphone, and he starts to tell the very real-life story of his relationship with Brock Lesnar and why Brock Lesnar is family to him. Shelton Benjamin hasn't meant a damn thing to the world of WWE in the longest time, despite the fact that I am a huge fan of his in-ring work, his ability, and the fact that I think he's a guy that they don't use nearly enough. A lot, like a lot of other guys.
True.
Shelton's talking, and I'm sucked in. I'm invested by the story. And Shelton is acting like a straight-up bully. And he's making sense with everything he's saying to Ray. And Ray is basically going, come on, man. Come on, why are you doing this? It felt like the two guys that I knew in the locker room now airing their real-life grievances out in the ring. Oh, sure, all I got to do is push you around and I get a shot around here. I'm one of the most legitimate athletes in this place, and I can probably stretch the entire company. Listen, Dave, straight up shoot. Shelton Benjamin is the baddest mother in that entire company. If there's one guy you don't want getting their hands on you, it is Shelton Benjamin. He will stretch you. He will beat you up, blow you up, and make you look like crap and expose you. Snap of a finger. That's how legit Shelton is. So now I'm getting this vibe, this feeling, this realism from Shelton, and I love it. I'm so intrigued by where they were going. And all of this was the good. And then Cain Velasquez's music hits. And out came Cain with that blank look on his face again. And this is where I get the bad. I'm like, man, I know some guys' cold-hearted, emotionless stare is their thing. But I just wasn't feeling it with Kane. And for some reason, when he kept walking down that ring, he just didn't look the part. It wasn't resonating with me nearly as much as it resonated with Shelton, who hasn't done a damn thing in forever.
Yeah.
But in the snap of a finger, he had me back. Now here comes Cain Velasquez to save his little buddy, Rey Mysterio. Everybody loves Rey Mysterio. And the crowd didn't give a rat's ass less. No reaction. The blank stare. I'm like, oh, no. And then here came the ugly. Shelton Benjamin shoots a leg on Cain Velasquez. And we get a moment in time as if Rey Mysterio was shooting a leg on the Big Show. Like, if Rey Mysterio leg-dove Big Show's leg, you could see them stopping and Big Show looking at Rey Mysterio like, you're not moving my leg. Like, Rey Mysterio wouldn't be able to budge the Big Show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think in a million frickin' years that Shelton Benjamin wouldn't be able to budge Cain Velasquez? Is that believable?
No, it's not.
To the an NCAA wrestler, a shooter, a guy that is the stories behind the scenes, and I know that we haven't told these stories on TV, but behind the scenes, one of the only guys that can hang with Kurt Angle and take down Brock, and you couldn't even make Kane flinch, and then Kane just picks him up and throws him around, and then the punches came. So before I go on about the punches, let me ask the fan. You're the fan. How did those punches look to you, Mr. Wrestling Fan?
I thought the ugly was going to be about those punches. Because to me, that was
the ugly. No, that's the uglier.
Yeah. I mean, come on. And you know why it looks so bad? Because I thought the punches he gave Brock looked good. Like, I thought on that first episode of SmackDown on Fox, when Kane came out against Brock and he was throwing the lefts and the rights at Brock, they actually looked good because they looked like they were landing and they actually looked like they were doing a little damage to Brock. You know, in the terms of what we saw on the show, it couldn't have been more different what I saw last night with Shelton Benjamin. And I'm sure Shelton Benjamin would be able to take those same punches that he gave to Brock.
To me, Shelton looked so bad within the physicality. There's no way a guy like Shelton Benjamin wouldn't be able to budge Cain Velasquez. There's no way a guy like Shelton Benjamin, when he got hooked, wouldn't be able to get away from Cain Velasquez. And those punchers were so lame. There's no way that a guy like Shelton Benjamin is just going to cover up and take those punches to the ribs. He could have squirmed out of it. He could have did anything. My problem with the physicality in that segment was they could have played to Kane's strengths and hid all of his weaknesses. I don't have a problem with Shelton shooting in, but the minute Shelton shot in, Kane should have just went behind him and reversed it in an instant, like a legitimate grappler can do to another grappler. And he should have waistlocked him, and then he should have picked him up and threw him like one grappler can do to another grappler. And then he should have hooked him in the hold, and Benjamin should have tapped and rolled out, and then he should have let him go like one grappler would have done to another grappler. They tried to get too cute with that segment, and those punches ruined it. And Shelton Benjamin leg diving and not being able to budge Cain Velasquez, I mean, he didn't even move backwards. He didn't bat an eyelash. That is beyond the realm of believability. I'm sorry. Especially when you got two hosses like Velasquez and Shelton who can handle the physicality. Listen, go out there and do what you got to do. Make me buy into it. Make it believable. Make it believable, and you can apologize later.
And you know what, Bully, and everything. First of all, great segment, because everything you're saying is so on point. What I was upset about with that segment is like what you mentioned earlier, where Shelton, you've said this before. You've said this months before about Shelton Benjamin and his relationship with Brock Lesnar. And if there was one guy who could possibly take Brock Lesnar, it would be Shelton Benjamin. And like you said, he could kick everyone's ass in that locker room. To me, when I heard him talk about his relationship with Brock, I got excited. And then everything happened afterward. To me, it was a waste of the story. To me, if you're going to use that story and use that history and use that truth when it comes to Shelton Benjamin, why use it on what in essence was a throwaway segment on a Monday Night Raw? They could have really built on that and made it something special that would have helped Kane and maybe did something with Brock in the future. Instead, it was just wasted for nothing, and it's not going to be remembered. That's unfortunate.
There's an old saying amongst the boys, amongst the wrestlers. It's called lay your shit in. You know what that means, Dave?
What's that?
That means bring it. That means hit me a little bit. That means be snug but not stiff. Be safe. We're men here, especially those two men who can handle the physicality. It's not like we got Tyson Fury in there and we're worried about hurting him. We got an MMA guy who's training to be a pro wrestler and already has matches in AAA, and we got Shelton Benjamin, a guy that can stretch the entire wrestling business. For Christ's sake, do what you gotta do, man. Am I to believe that Cain Velasquez's punches last night are going to do anything to Brock Lesnar? Do you really think after last night Cain Velasquez has a chance in hell of beating Brock Lesnar?
Not from what I saw last night, no.
I get it. You were trying to tell me a certain story last night, but that story was not played out in the ring the way you had envisioned it. They should have protected Velasquez's physicality. They should have protected Shelton and not made Shelton look like such a bit player. You gotta be kidding me. Shelton Benjamin, isn't he like a two-time NCAA champion?
It's a missed opportunity last night, Bully. Missed
Shelton
opportunity.
Benjamin shoots a freaking leg on you and he doesn't move you? And Cain Velasquez is looking at Shelton Benjamin as if it was the Big Show looking at Rey Mysterio? Or how about this? Big Show looking at Marco Stunt. Sorry, man. I'm never this harsh and this critical because I get it. Last night, no way. No way in hell. I was pissed off at the end of that segment last night because it started so good. Ray did such a great job. Paul did such a great job. Shelton did an off-the-charts phenomenal job. The WWE did a great job in allowing Shelton to tell that story about Brock because it was all legitimate and real. And then it got ugly.
Shelton Benjamin, by the way, was an NCAA All-American in 97 and 98. The guy is an athlete. The guy's tremendous. Tremendous. And I think that was a missed opportunity last night.
Thank- Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.